If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7, as we continue in our series for God and Country. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. Jeremiah writes, "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I just thank you so much for the church. And I pray you just show us, Lord, from your word today, how much we need to be those Christian nationalists, Lord, that you call to be, that so many people are slamming and running down. And pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Got this letter from a married couple who moved away from Fox River Church to another state about a year ago. "The biggest struggle we've had is finding the right church. There's one church we've been attending that is doing good things and is preaching biblical truth. But there's one big thing we've noticed. In almost a year of attending, we haven't heard one sermon on any of the uncomfortable topics like abortion, transgenderism, same-sex marriage, end times, etc., and what the Bible has to say about them. Even after the Hamas attacks on Israel, not one single prayer for Israel. What's holding them back? It just seems that they shy away from those topics, and it makes us wonder how strong they will be when it's needed the most." Amen. Now, sadly enough, what that church is doing is way too typical of way too many other churches in our country right now. Because at a time when America needs it the most in these last days, too many churches and too many Christians are purposely deaf, dumb, and blind when it comes to the most critical issues of our day. And why? Because they don't want to be accused of Christian nationalism. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us why that's wrong and why Christian nationalism is right, and especially for the church, and especially now. Amen. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called For God and Country, looking at Christian nationalism and what it really is. And today we look at what the church needs to do with it. And to see that, we turn today to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. In this part of Jeremiah chapter 29, the Jewish people are in exile in the city and country in Babylon. And in our text today, Jeremiah tells them they need to be Christian nationalists and seek the good of the country that they're in so God will bless them. And the Holy Spirit is telling us, the Church of Jesus Christ today, we need to be Christian nationalists and seek the good of the country that we're in so that we can be blessed too. Our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, tells us three things that the church needs to do to be Christian nationalists regardless of what the critics say. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing the church needs to do in order to be Christian nationalists, the church first of all needs to be Christian. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 7. And I know somebody's saying, "Kevin, you always find these obscure verses in the Old Testament that are talking about Israel and then try to apply them to America." There's no such thing as an obscure verse anywhere in the Bible, because everything in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is written as an example to teach us something today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. The Jewish people were in exile in Babylon, in a foreign country 2,600 years ago. Christians in America are in exile now in what seems like a foreign country 2,600 years later. So this verse does apply to the church. And for the church to be Christian nationalists, the first church, first of all, has to be Christian. The Christian church is supposed to be Christian, people. For all the posers who may have forgotten, Sonny Hostin said this on The View. "If Jesus were here for Pride Month, he would be the grand marshal of all the gay pride parades. He'd be out there affirming everybody and loving on everybody like they were one big happy family." Folks, that's not Jesus Christ. That's Parney the purple dinosaur. Well, Kevin, Jesus never offended anybody. Jesus got along with everybody. Jesus tolerated everything. Jesus did. Jesus. The Jesus of this Bible. The Jesus who called the Pharisees low-down dirty snakes. And took a whip and went all John Wayne at the money changers at the temple. The Jesus who said, if you don't trust in him alone for salvation, you're going to go to hell without a participation trophy. John chapter 3, verse 18. This Jesus. If Jesus never ticked anybody off, how in the world did he ever manage to get crucified? You get Jesus wrong, you get everything else wrong. Woke pastor Rachel Cummings said this, "Christianity is all about tolerance and inclusion." No, Christianity is not about tolerance and inclusion, or group hugs, or kumbaya, or celebrate your diversity. Christianity is about the grace and mercy of a just and a holy God who offers us a chance of salvation from an eternity in hell through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. That's what Christianity is about. Being a Christian means calling out to God and standing on the truth and preaching His Word and reaching the lost and healing the sick and casting out demons and declaring the praises of Him who brought you out of darkness into His wonderful light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Christianity is not about DEI or ESG or CRT. It's ABC. Admit to your sin, believe Jesus is Lord, and call on His name. Before the church can be Christian nationalist, the church, first of all, has to be Christian. Because sadly enough, if the church is Christian today, they got a really funny way of showing it. The video clip you're going to see is taken from the annual conference of the United Methodist Church last May the 1st in North Carolina.
Becca Gorrell, clergy, New England annual conference, she, her, hers, queer white adult. I'm very sorry to do this.
Bishop Thomas Lang, deacon, Greater New Jersey, adult white male.
Thank you, Bishop. Good morning, friends. I am Scott Brewer, a cisgendered white lay male delegate from the Great Plains Conference.
Go ahead. My name is Carol Zagsma, clergy delegate from Minnesota, white, female, gay, adult.
People, that's what brainwashed looks like. And at that conference, they voted to allow fully open, unrepentant LGBTQ people to serve as pastors in their churches. And that same day, they lost 1 million more members. The United Methodist Church has lost over 4,000 more congregations just the first 6 months of this year because they think sodomy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. That whirring sound you hear is John Wesley spinning in his grave. Episcopal Church USA unveiled their new pride shield for Pride Month this year. That's the symbol for their church with all the pride flags on it, proudly declaring their rebellion against God and His Word and getting ready for the coming of the Antichrist. The spirit of the age comes in 6 rainbow colors, folks, and is plastered all over the church. We're not seeing the start of the great falling away. We're already at the end of it. Amen. Does anybody have any idea how close we really are to the end? Heretic Rebecca Todd Peters, pastor Presbyterian Church USA. The Planned Parenthood stole she's wearing ought to tip you off. After last August, she said this in a sermon. I felt God's presence with me as I made the decision to end 2 pregnancies with abortions. And I felt no guilt, no shame, and no sin. Here's what she said in a sermon last March. Video.
If Jesus were here today, He would be a clinic escort, distracting women from the hatred of the protesters, or an abortion doula, holding women's hands and offering support and love as they end their pregnancies. If Jesus were giving His sermon today, He might also have said, blessed are those who end pregnancies, for they will be known for their loving kindness.
So Jesus would bless abortion. People, that's not just heresy, that's insanity. When Paul said women should be quiet in the church, I'm sure he was talking about her. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. If anyone adds to the words of this book, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book and take away their place in the tree of life in the holy city. If you're listening to this sermon right now and you're still in one of those stupid woke Laodicean churches with a stupid woke Laodicean pastor, get out of that church as fast as your little legs can carry you before the lightning hits you too. The church is supposed to be the conscience of a nation. But instead, the church today is becoming the tool of the state. Deep state, deep church. How many congregations all over America had vaccine clinics for the clot shot during COVID? How many pastors in this country bowed the knee to Baal and would not write vaccine exemption letters for their own people? Tool of the state. Now we've got something called after party. Resources that pastors are supposed to use to teach their people how to deal with political issues in a more Christian way. It's nothing but a leftist Bible study to make your sheep woke. No, thank you. Every single weekend when Joe Biden goes back to Delaware for more brain juice, he always goes to Mass at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Wilmington there. And even though Joe Biden never met an unborn baby that he didn't want to kill, the tool of the state pastor there, a man named John Hopkins, always gives him communion. But every single Sunday when Joe Biden shows up at that church, that guy right there, 69-year-old David Williams, lifelong member of St. Joseph's, is standing there holding that sign so Joe Biden can see it. Joe Biden equals abortion, euthanasia, and infanticide. And why does that guy do that? Because if that tool of the state pastor is too gutless to do church discipline and to point out to Joe Biden his sin, he's going to do it. And why? Because one of the responsibilities of being a Christian is calling out evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. The Church of Jesus Christ in America today is an absolute train wreck. And whose fault is it the most? It's pastors. Last Saturday, June the 8th, all the sodomites held their third annual Pride Festival in Ottawa. And thousands of spiritually blind people from all over the place descended on that town to celebrate the perversion with everything from drag queen shows to pet walks for kids. Because you got to brainwash the kids as young as possible. And the night before that festival started, they held a special memorial service for all the LGBTQ people who died. And that service was led by five pastors from Ottawa, one of at least whom is gay. And you see them right there wearing their rainbow stoles, showing everybody that they're allies and they're down for the struggle. Now, I've done a lot of ministry with LGBTQ people, too. But I've got a question for those rainbow pastors. What in the literal hell are you doing? How can you be so blind? Every single one of us is born in sin and has a tendency to sin against God in all different kinds of ways, including LGBTQ. So Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead to take our sins away when we turn from that sin and turn to Him. So Jesus doesn't affirm us in our sin. Jesus saves us from our sin. But that only happens when we confess it, not when we celebrate it. But where is that message coming from the rainbow pastors in Ottawa? Cue the crickets. One of those pastors said this during that memorial service. Whoever you are, be yourself, your real self, your true self, without excuse, without shame. Stand on love. No, I'm going to stand on the Word of God that says real love is based on truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, which means real love, you do not tell people lies that are going to destroy their body and soul. Pastor, do you have any idea what you're doing? Don't you fear God? Don't you realize that one day you are going to stand before God and be held accountable for the truth that you're not preaching? Don't you realize when you tell people who think they're LGBTQ that they were born that way and it's perfectly fine and nothing needs to change, and if you don't act on those desires, you're going to kill yourself? Don't you realize you are not helping them? Amen. You are keeping them deceived and bound, and you are sending them to hell. And you're in danger of going there yourself, because that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ were still in the grave, He'd be rolling over in it. But as it is, He is sitting on the throne waiting to say those words to you. The scariest words in all of Scripture. Depart from me. I never knew you. Amen. Do not listen to your prophets who dream dreams and prophesy lies in my name. Do not listen to them, for I have not sent them. What do we do with LGBTQ people here at Fox River? Because there are people in this church who struggle with same-sex attraction. You don't know who they are, but I do. And they come to this church because they know that they're loved here and because they know that they're going to hear truth that can set them free. The truth that if they truly put that sin under the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit starts a process of changing their hearts and minds and making them brand new creations in Christ so that the old is gone and the new has come. We don't preach condemnation. We preach transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe that happens here, I can show you all the letters that prove it. And it's not Kevin Garner that sets them free. It's the truth of Jesus Christ, the exact same truth that every single pastor, every single Christian, every single church needs to be preaching today and standing up for. The first thing the church needs to do to be Christian nationalists, the church needs to be Christian. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing the church needs to do to be Christian nationalists. The church not only needs to be Christian, the church also needs to understand what Christian nationalism really is. Because otherwise, nobody has a clue what it is. It's like a guinea pig. It's not a pig and it's not from Guinea. It's like Scotch tape. It's not from Scotland. It doesn't have any Scotch in it. And Scotch is just one of the brand names for it. And even they don't call it Scotch tape. They call it magic tape. What is Christian nationalism? Exactly what it says in verse 7. Christians doing whatever is good for the country that God has placed them in. And whatever is good is whatever the Bible says it is right in here. So no wonder so many people are having the flop sweats about Christian nationalism and claiming all kinds of things about it that aren't true, that are absolutely ridiculous. Bishop Michael Curry, who married Prince Harry and Meghan, said this: Christian nationalism is a cult-like movement that's all based on white supremacy and marginalizing and terrorizing people of color. Yeah, when we're not live streaming here at Fox River on a Sunday morning, we've all got our white hoods on and we're burning crosses in people's front yards. What an absolute joke! David French said this: Christian nationalism is not about Christ, it's only about power. They're all on a power trip. According to the Constitution of Fox River Church, I, as the pastor, can't even vote during a council meeting here. Yeah, it's really all about power for me. Pastor Kathy Young, who's supposedly an expert on Christian nationalism, said this: Christian nationalists claim that the patriarchal heterosexual family is not only God's biblical standard, but the cornerstone of all thriving civilizations. Oh my goodness, every Christian is supposed to believe that. If you believe the Bible, Adam Kinzinger says Christian nationalism even more dangerous to America than the Taliban is. And you know what all these people have in common? They're all leftist. Adam Kinzinger is now working for an organization called Power to the People that's funded by George Soros. They're all leftists. No wonder they have the vapors about Christian nationalism. Evangelical Christians slam Christian nationalism too. John Piper, who's wrong about just about everything, said this: Christian nationalists are wrongly using the sword of civil government to force people into Christianity to advance the cause of Christ. My question is, who's actually doing that? Do we use the Illinois State Police to bring people into this church on Sunday morning at gunpoint? No. You can't force anybody to become a Christian. We don't even want to try. John MacArthur said this: Christians need to have to reject this nationalistic temptation to take over the country because Jesus said our kingdom is not of this world. Yeah, I agree. I'm not post-millennial. The only time there is ever going to be a completely worldwide kingdom all over this world is when Jesus comes back and sets it up himself. Amen. I don't want to build a kingdom. I got too much to do now. I don't want to take over anything. I just want to follow the United States Constitution as our founding fathers wrote it. That's Christian nationalism. Russell Moore says don't be a Christian nationalist because our citizenship is in heaven. Yeah, I agree. But folks, until we go up there, we still have to live down here. And of course, you always hear it. Scott Reeder, political reporter from Springfield. Wait for it because it's coming. Today I see Christians wearing MAGA hats and talking about God saving our country and making America great again. Here it comes. And it's dangerous because it's the exact same mentality that Nazis used to take over Germany in the 1930s. Adolf Hitler was able to co-opt many of Germany's churches by making references to God in his speeches and writings like so many Christian nationalists do today. There you go. Automatically, you're a Christian nationalist, you're a Nazi, and God bless America means Heil Hitler. Folks, Adolf Hitler was not a Christian. Adolf Hitler hated Christianity. And he took over churches in Germany so they wouldn't oppose his agenda of the Holocaust. We're not trying to do that. We don't want government to take over the church. We're preaching against that because that's exactly what the left is trying to do now. Does anybody understand what Christian nationalism really is? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. It's Christians seeking the good of the country that God puts them in, according to his word. Well, Kevin, Christian nationalism, it's unconstitutional. No, it's not. Well, it violates the separation of church and state clause in the United States Constitution. No, it doesn't. That's fake news. Because there is no separation of church and state clause in the United States Constitution, or the Bill of Rights, or the Declaration of Independence, or any of the founding documents. That phrase, separation of church and state, comes from Thomas Jefferson's phrase, a wall of separation. Written by him when he was president in 1802 in a letter that he wrote to a bunch of Baptists in Danbury, Connecticut. Because the state government in Connecticut was persecuting the Baptists because they favored the Congregational Church. And Thomas Jefferson said in that letter, First Amendment builds like a wall of separation between church and state to get this, to stop the government from telling the church what to do. But today, the left has changed that and interpreted it means exactly the opposite. They claim it means that it means the church can't tell the government what to do. They claim it means that there can't be any trace whatsoever of anything Christian or religious when it comes to government. And we know that's not true. We know that's not right because when Thomas Jefferson was president, he held worship services in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. He used federal tax money to build church buildings and cathedrals in America. He used federal tax money to evangelize Indian tribes out west. In 248-year history of this country, Congress has never passed one law, not one single law, to try to enforce separation of church and state. And why? Because separation of church and state is not supposed to protect the government from religion. It's supposed to protect religion from the government. And boy, does it ever need to. Last August the 25th, a 12-year-old born-again Christian named Nathan Ryan, Patello Middle School, Tarboro, North Carolina, was asked by a couple of kids in his class what he believed as a Christian. So he started telling them about Jesus. But then a staff member overheard him talking about Jesus Christ, pulled him aside, told him it's illegal to talk about Jesus in a public school, and told him that he was harassing those other kids. You know what the staff did to that kid? They put him in in-school suspension for 3 days, 7 hours a day in total isolation, and told his parents if they tried to take him home, they would give him zeros in all of his homework, 3 unexcused absences on his permanent record, and they would kick him out of school. Now let me ask you, who's acting like Hitler and who isn't? So you know what those parents did? They called Alliance for Defending Freedom and filed a lawsuit against that school for violating that kid's God-given constitutional First Amendment right. And guess what? Now, as long as Ryan Nathan doesn't interrupt class time or beat anybody over the head with the Bible, he can talk about Jesus in that school anytime he wants to. That's what separation of church and state is supposed to be. Does anybody understand what Christian nationalism really is? And I know gazillions of people say, yeah, Kevin, but you, it's all about Donald Trump. You worship Donald Trump. We don't worship Donald Trump. That whole concept is absolute lunacy to born-again Christians. Please, please get some help. Well, you act like he's the Savior. He's not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Do we preach here at Fox River Church, John 3:16? For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him and Donald Trump will not perish but have everlasting life. No! And Donald Trump is not the Savior of this country. He can do a lot of good things. But the biggest problem with America is not political, it's spiritual. It's not about Donald Trump. But folks, you cannot deny how for some reason, God uses that guy for blessings in this country. Right after World War II, the church in Europe was dead as a doornail, and especially Scotland, especially the Hebrides Islands, 40 miles off the coast of the West. Churches were empty, no young people, no fire from heaven. Turn out the lights, the party's over. But then what do you know? November of 1949, God moved on the hearts of two old ladies in the Isle of Lewis in the Hebrides in Scotland in the town of Barbados to start praying for revival. Two sisters, 82-year-old Peggy Smith and 84-year-old Christine Smith. Peggy was totally blind. Her sister Christine was so bent over by arthritis, she couldn't even see anything in front of her. So they couldn't go to church. But God moved their hearts to pray for revival. So every single night from 10 p.m. until 3 in the morning, they cried out for a move of God in their hometown and their islands. 3 weeks after they started praying, God gave them a word from Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, that He was going to pour water out on the dry ground. And then God gave them a vision of the church in the Hebrides filled to bustin' with revival, led by a pastor that they'd never met before. So they got their pastor, John McKay, to start praying with them. And he started praying with other pastors on the islands. And prayer meetings started breaking out all over the place. And the houses where people were praying would start to shake. And so many people showed up, the crowd spilled over outside the buildings. And holy fire would fall and people would be covered in the light of the glory of God. And God called a pastor named Duncan Campbell to lead the revival. And 10 days later, he held his first evangelistic service at the church in Barbados that started at 11 p.m. So people weren't there just so they could go to Cracker Barrel afterwards. And that church that held 800 people was packed with over 1,200 people and thousands more crowded around outside as young people just up and walked away from the dance halls and men walked out of bars and taverns led to the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that church service lasted for 5 hours till 4 o'clock in the morning. And people started getting saved and that revival started spreading all over the Hebrides. And Duncan Campbell was preaching in 8 different churches a day. And hundreds of people were falling out under the conviction, laying in the front of those churches, crying out to God. 20,000 people came to Christ in just the first 5 weeks. And Peggy and Christine Smith had a nephew named Donald, who led all kinds of people to Christ and prayed like crazy and helped the pastors and helped Duncan Campbell not only bring that revival to the Hebrides, but also to help keep it going. And the Spirit of God was so heavy over that place. Policemen and judges almost lost their jobs because nobody was committing any crimes and there was no cases to judge or to try. The Spirit of God was so heavy over that part of the world. U.S. and British Navy ships sailing past those islands hundreds of miles away would be hit by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sailors would be on their knees on those ships crying out to Jesus Christ and getting saved from hundreds of miles away. That move of God lasted for 3 solid years, from 1949 to 1952, one of the greatest revivals since the days of Pentecost. Now, Peggy and Christine Smith had a niece named Mary McLeod who grew up on the Isle of Lewis. 1930, when she was 18 years old, she emigrated to the United States and became a mate. 6 years later, 1936, she married a real estate developer named Fred, and they moved to the Queens, and they got really rich, and Mary did all kinds of charity work. And they had 5 children. Fourth child was a son named Donald, like the Donald who brought revival to the Hebrides Islands. 1955, Peggy and Christine Smith sent Mary a Bible that they had used in a special way with the hope and the prayer that either Mary or one of her children would use that Bible to bring revival to America. And of course, Fred and Mary was Fred and Mary Trump. And their 4th son, Donald, was Donald Trump. 2008, Donald Trump visited his mother's home in the Isle of Lewis, and also visited the home of those 2 crazy old ladies. Because those 2 crazy old ladies who prayed the glory down the Hebrides revival was Donald Trump's great aunts. And that Bible that those 2 old ladies gave to Mary Trump gave it to Donald Trump. The Trump Bible that's supposed to bring revival to America. And January the 20th, 2017, Donald Trump put his hand on that Revival Bible and also the Lincoln Bible when he took the oath of office to be the 45th president of the United States. And all the while Donald Trump was in the White House, that Bible sat in the Oval Office. Now it's in the Smithsonian Institute. And folks, if Donald Trump could just get back to the White House this January, that Bible would go back there with him. And we are so hungry and we are so desperate for revival. And I don't know how it all comes together. But I believe with all my heart, that God is doing something. And God is preparing something and supernaturally and miraculously putting things together so we can have one more window of revival in America before it's too late and He comes again. And if God could just find some people, some Christians who know what that window is for. God, would You please give us one more window of opportunity before it's too late? And Christians, let me ask you this morning, would you pray for that? Would you be people who cry out for that? Lord, will You not revive us again? Is there Christians here who are willing to do that? Is there Christian nationalists here who are willing to do that for the survival of this nation and the glory of God, that this country would be saved and, more importantly, the people in it, which is the goal of Christian nationalism all along? The second thing the church needs to do to be Christian nationalists, we've got to understand what Christian nationalism really is. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing the church needs to do to be Christian nationalists. We not only need to be Christian. Church not only needs to understand what Christian nationalism really is. Third, we need to engage in it. And that's also what we see here in verse 7. Well, Kevin, I pray for our country. Yeah, God tells us to do that here in verse 7. But God tells us to do a lot of other things for the good of this country too. Well, Kevin, Jesus is coming again. Yeah, but Jesus said we got to occupy down here until he does come again. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. By being salt and light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And standing for truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And exposing evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8. And fighting for your country. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. And I realize as I'm saying this, there's all kinds of Christians listening to the sermon right now, clutching their pearls and having an apoplectic seizure. Well, Kevin, we can't have anything to do with politics. Christians can't have anything to do with politics. Well, don't tell God that, because that's exactly what he's telling us to do right here in verse 7. Because every single so-called political issue is a moral and spiritual issue that the Bible talks about. And if the Bible talks about it, Christians, we've got to talk about it. For crying out loud, it's not political, it's biblical. We got to engage. But too many Christians won't. The exact same day, the Marxist Democrats in Illinois introduced SB 3499, a bill that legalizes doctor-assisted suicide in this state. The same day, those same Marxists introduced another bill, 3792, that makes it illegal for animal shelters in Illinois to euthanize dogs and cats. The same day. Now, I understand compassion for animals, but how in the name of God Almighty can I not extend that compassion to people? Marxists in the state of Illinois are absolutely fixated on killing human beings from young to old. And the question is, where's the churches? Where's all the Christians who are speaking out against it? You mean to tell me that God is perfectly fine with 70 million murdered dead babies from abortion since 1973? You mean to tell me that God has no opinion whatsoever on doctors helping people in Illinois kill themselves because they're depressed or homeless or because they got hearing aids, which is exactly what that bill is going to allow? God doesn't give a rip about boys and girls that he specially created, male and female, for a purpose, as they get butchered like veal calves in transgender surgery. You know who originally said that phrase? Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics? Adolf Hitler said that. To get Christians out of the way so he could carry out his Holocaust agenda. Before the start of World War II, there were 18,000 churches in Germany. 3,000 of them spoke out against Adolf Hitler. 3,000 of them supported Adolf Hitler and what he was doing. The rest, the vast majority, over 12,000 churches in Germany, sat back and did absolutely nothing to try to stop him. The movie, sing a little louder. True story. One day in Germany, a trainload of Jews headed for Auschwitz concentration camp stopped right next to a Christian church when they were having worship. And the Christians inside that church could hear all the Jews on those train cars screaming and crying out for mercy and crying out for help. And what did the Christians and the pastor in that church do? Kept singing a little bit louder and a little bit louder to drown out the noise of all the screams and the cries. And don't tell me that Christians aren't doing that today. You got tortured dead poets on your Spotify yet? Who the Cubs play today? Where are we going for fireworks this year? Can you hear the screams? Can you hear the cries of a nation dying and going to hell in a handbasket? Is somebody going to listen up? Is somebody going to stand up? Is somebody going to speak up and engage? Well, thank God those Christians did. Ever since 2001, Christian parents in Campbell County, Wyoming, been sick and tired of having LGBTQ propaganda pushed on their kids at their public library. Library was promoting gay porn books like Lawn Boy and Genderqueer, even hiring drag queens for drag queen shows for kids, all paid by their tax money. And it seemed like an absolutely impossible situation because the county board, Campbell County, Wyoming, was 4-3 majority leftist. And the county board is who appointed the library board, and the library board was 4-3 majority leftist. Even in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, the leftists were in charge. People there everywhere. But those parents were bound and determined they were going to have a family-friendly library. So for 3 years, they worked and they prayed and they went to every single library board meeting and they filed all the complaints that they could. And they sent all kinds of emails and all kinds of letters to their elected representatives. And they wrote all kinds of letters to the editor in the local newspapers. And finally, after 3 years, they forced the biggest leftist on that county board to resign and replaced him with a Christian. So now the county board was 4-3 majority conservative. And with that majority, they forced one of the leftists off the library board. So now the library board was 4-3 conservative majority. Then they passed a law, a rule, no more gay porn books in the library at that county library. And then when the woke leftist director of that library, Terry Leslie, refused to follow the rules at a very packed public library board meeting, the board voted to fire her. And did it get nasty? You see the video.
I make a motion to vote for Terry Leslie's position to be terminated as the Campbell County Public Library Director.
All in favor?
Wow.
There you have it.
When you start outlawing books because of your personal religious and moral beliefs in this country, you're going against the Constitution. You're going against what we were founded for. This is a show, and I'm embarrassed for this board. Thank you.
Yeah. You hear what that guy said? Firing that library director goes against everything that this country was founded for. Yeah, using gay porn to hypersexualize little kids, that's exactly what this country was founded for. And did you hear all the useful idiots cheering what that guy said? Does Jeremiah say here in verse 7 that it's going to be easy to seek the good of the country that you're living in? Does he say that you're going to be able to do it without taking any flack or fire? No. But whether they love you, hate you, block you, or unfriend you, you seek what's good for the country that you're living in according to God's word, no matter what. Lynn Duo, El Dorado, Texas, U.S. Army veteran, 7 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. So last April, he started hanging a flag from the balcony of his apartment at the Lodge apartment complex there in El Dorado because he wanted to show people he was proud of his service and proud of his country. But when the HOA saw that flag hanging from the balcony of his apartment, they told him he had to take that flag down because it was offending some Muslims who were living in that apartment complex. So you know what Len Duo did? He told all of his neighbors about it. Very next day, that's what that apartment complex looked like. Flags hanging all over the place. The entire complex was covered with them. Take that. That's what it means to engage. Fox River Church engages like that. And because of that, the biggest slam against Fox River Church, Fox River is all about politics. And because of that, we don't care about sharing the gospel with anybody. And you know why people say that? Because they don't realize it's the one thing that actually sets up the other. We do a lot of things here at Fox River Church that a lot of people consider political. And we've caught 7 kinds of hell for it. Do you know why we really do those things? Not just because we want to help people protect their God-given rights and freedoms that the left is trying to destroy and take away, which is a good enough reason in and of itself. We do those things ultimately so that people can hear the gospel and get saved. Because what all the Christians who want to have a royal cow about Christian nationalism don't understand, there are millions and millions of people in this country who love America and care about freedom, but they're not saved. So if you talk about things in sermons about freedom and about so-called political issues, those people will listen to your sermons. And they will not only listen to you talking about freedom, they'll also listen when you talk about the gospel, and some of those people will pray to receive Christ. And you say, well, Kevin, is that right? Is that a right way to lead somebody? Listen to me. I don't care why they get saved. I just care that they are saved. January of 2022, at the height of COVID, we had a freedom rally here at Fox River with world-renowned heart doctor and COVID expert, Dr. Peter McCullough, who told everybody, do not get the clot shot. And people got all kinds of good information on how to deal with the pandemic. But you know why we really did that rally here? Because I got to speak that morning. And I got to tell people during COVID, more than anything else, the most important thing, you've got to get right with God. And a lot of people did. And because we had that rally in January of 2022, even more people came to the next rally. September 14, 2020, we had General Michael Flynn here, set up a big old tent meeting right up behind the church. And people got all kinds of good information on how to save the Republic. And man, did we ever get flack for doing that too. Some people in this area were fit to be tied. We got nasty messages left on our church answering machine. Michael Flynn is a blankety blank blank, and if your church is having him, that means Fox River is a blankety blank blank too. But you know why we did that rally? Because it brought even more patriots to this church who didn't know Christ. And that morning, I got to preach a sermon. And praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Seven people raised their hands and prayed to receive Christ and got saved at that rally. One of them was even a bodyguard of one of the other speakers. One of them was a newspaper reporter who just the week before slammed Fox River for being nothing about politics. Does God have a sense of humor or what? I got to talk to him myself. And because we did that rally, even more people started watching our live stream and praying to receive Christ and getting saved. Even more unsaved patriots came to our church, and a lot of them got saved right up here in the front of this room. But see, Fox River is just all about politics, right? Because we did that rally in September 2022, I got asked to speak at the Clay Clark Reawaken Tour in Branson, Missouri in November of 2022. And we got all kinds of flack because of that too. There's a pastor out there named Brian Taylor, who I guess has committed the rest of his life to slamming anybody that he thinks is a net Christian nationalist. This is what he said about me and about you. Pastor Kevin Garner from Fox River Lutheran Church in Illinois is another example of a Christian nationalist using his Christian faith to justify his obvious racism and nativism and idol worship of Donald Trump. And the fact that his congregation tolerates it proves they're in exactly the same camp. Christians are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why don't they do that at Fox River Church? You know why I did that in Branson? Because I was not going to turn down an opportunity to speak to 900,000 people by live stream. Here's a part of what I said. And now that gospel door that God has opened to the entire world for America is now closing because too many Christians are preaching heresy like love is love and save the baby seals and can't we just all get along? The United States of America is specially created and raised up by God Himself to spread the gospel and shine the light of freedom all over the planet is now this close to being betrayed and sold out and totally destroyed by our very own leaders. And Americans, what do we need to do? We need to remember who we are and why we're here. Remember the heights from which you have fallen and strengthen that which remains and is about to die. For your deeds have not been found complete in the sight of our God. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. America will never be great again until America is right with God again. History says it. The Bible says it. And for the love of God, why doesn't the church say it? Now let me ask you, did you hear anything in there about worshiping Donald Trump? Did you hear anything in there about making America into an idol? No. And because we did that down in Branson, we had a lot more people, even more people looking at our live stream. And even more people coming to this church. And a lot of those people got saved when they came here. Again, right up in front of this room. But see, Fox River is just all about politics, right? Remember last Halloween, how it snowed and how cold it was? I remember, because I was right out there in it. Main Street of Sheridan, with those three other yahoos from Fox River. And what were we doing out there? Registering people to vote? Passing out Trump 2024 stickers? No, we were handing out candy and gospel tracts and Bibles and New Testaments and Gospel Network comic books for kids with the hope and the prayer that somebody would read one of those and learn about Jesus and get saved. So we were freezing for a reason. And I don't know if anybody got saved because of what we did, but I know this, they had a lot better chance of getting saved than if we hadn't done it at all. And can I say it? I'm just going to say it. Kevin Garner's supposed to be this big, bad Christian nationalist MAGA pastor who only cares about politics. I didn't see any other pastors out there that day. Hello? Fox River Church supposed to be this big, bad Christian nationalist MAGA church that only cares about politics. I didn't see any other churches out there that day. The people who slam Fox River Church have no clue. They have no idea what this church does, what this church is all about. Don't know, don't care. But Fox River, God does. We got this letter about 3 weeks ago. Dear Fox River, 7 months ago, I was a cocaine addict. And I lost my wife, my two children, my job, everything that really mattered to me. So I just took off. I was lost, and sleeping in my car in the parking lot of a Cabela's in Rogers, Minnesota. But then a worker at that store told me about the live stream from your megachurch. He thinks we're a megachurch. And I watched a sermon from you about Jericho and pulling down strongholds. And I prayed and I gave my whole sorry mess to Jesus Christ. And I'm writing to you to Fox River to let you know I got saved because of that. And today I'm in rehab and trying to get my family back. My only hope is Christ. And it was you people at Fox River that led me to Him when nothing and nobody else ever did. Just so you realize, your church blesses far more people than you will ever know. Praise the Lord. Praise God for that. People, I don't even know where Rogers, Minnesota is. And I can show you many, many more letters just exactly like that one. Fox River, regardless of what the critics say, you Christian nationalists here at Fox River Church are touching and saving far more people than you will ever know. And you know why? Because when it comes to Christian nationalism, we got our priorities straight. It's Christian first, it's nation second. Just exactly like it's supposed to be. At this time in our nation's history, when freedom itself and one nation under God is literally hanging in the balance, at this moment of time in these last days more than ever before, the church in America has got to be Christian nationalist. And you know why? Because the church will survive without America, but America will never survive without the church. Church, we have got to be Christian nationalists. But to do that, we first of all have to be Christian again. What Jesus said to five of the seven churches in the book of Revelation is exactly the same thing that Jesus is saying to the church today. Repent! Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. All the stupid, woke, demonic claptrap that is sending millions and millions of people straight to the gates of hell. Repent! But we got to realize the church is also people. Fox River Church is us people. And we need to repent of some things too, don't we? Amen. You know what they are in you? And I know what they are in me. All kinds of things that are keeping us from being the servants we have got to be in these last days. We also need to repent of the opportunities God gives us that we don't take up. The times when we're supposed to speak up and we act like our throat's been cut. The times we're supposed to stand up, we stay sitting on our hands. The times we're supposed to be salt and light when we're nothing but smoke and mirrors. We need to repent. But everybody stand up right where you're at, right now in this church. In this holy moment, right now, in the presence of the living God. Everybody standing in the presence of the Lord. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Gather the elders and the children and those nursing at their breasts. We're doing that right here in this room. Let the bridegroom leave his bride and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, "Spare thy people, O Lord. Do not make thine inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations." For why should they say among the peoples, "Where is their God?" Lord, we're standing here today in this church Just thank you, Lord, for the incredible blessings that you poured out on Fox River. None of them deserved. Lord, we're standing in a nation today with a church that's gone completely off the rails, and we repent, Lord, for the stupidity. We repent on behalf of those other churches for the wokeness and the abandonment of your word and not relying on the Holy Spirit. Lord, a false message that's sending people to hell, we repent of that on behalf of them. As we stand here today, Lord, we also repent for the sins in our own lives, the things that we have done wrong. We ask, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would cleanse us and wash us clean for the fight and for the days to come, because we know you're coming any second. Pray, Lord, that you just purify this church and use us, Lord, in these last days, whatever purposes you have. We ask all this in your name. Amen.